Good morning. Please join me in the prayer for Advent, as you see printed on your bulletin. We join together our hearts and voices in unison. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening danger of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Hear now the reading for our devotion today, taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 13th chapter. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. In the past weeks, we have been listening to many of the signs that Jesus gives us of the end times and how to be properly prepared. One of those signs that he speaks about is also a great falling away inside of the Christian church. Many people who at one time loved the gospel and loved him and his word will suddenly start to walk away. He says, lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. And we see that certainly happening all around us in our world today. There's a disregard for the word of God and the word of Christ. And it's even kind of openly, publicly received the blessing of church leadership in many places. Nearly every mainline Christian denomination today has seminaries and pastors and professors who openly challenge the central primary doctrines of the Christian faith. We in our day and age have often labeled this as liberalism, not political liberalism, but theological liberalism, being liberal with the Word of God and not really caring to follow what it actually says. Dr. Kurt Marquardt said this: liberalism is the funnel by which unbelievers are poured back into the church. That's a great way to put it. The funnel by which unbelievers are poured back into the church. It's very tempting for us to fall into this because it appeals to some of the deepest recesses of our sinful human nature. And it's also enhanced by the fact that we are waiting. We're in a position of waiting for our Lord's return, which sometimes seems like it's going to take too long. And anytime you're in a position of waiting, there is the temptation to lose your focus and to lose your preparedness. Your enthusiasm for the event that you're anticipating starts to kind of grow dim. You start to grow tired and lethargic. That's just the way that we are. Now, in the text in front of us, St. Paul is not writing to unbelievers, but he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who've already learned about Christ, about the grace of God, who've already come to a knowledge of the fact that the only way they could be made right with God, to be declared innocent and justified, is if God did it himself through the work of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what he's done. Earlier in the book of Romans, Paul elaborates on this beautiful doctrine of justification, that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, he says. And he's writing to people who knew this, who understood it very well, in fact. In fact, you get the sense from the book of Romans that the congregation in Rome was very highly indoctrinated. They knew this well. In fact, in the first chapter, Paul talks about that the faith that they professed in their congregation was known all around the world inside of Christendom. So these were not wimpy Christians. These were not lukewarm Christians as far as the congregation is concerned. Many of them may have been new converts. It's possible that some of them had not only been taught by the actual apostles themselves, it's possible some of them had even witnessed the resurrected Christ. Many of them were now running into situations where they saw persecution in their lives. If there was ever a time when you think that people would be really intense about their faith, this would be it. And yet notice, Paul has to warn them about falling into this apostasy, this kind of lethargy about their faith. He says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness." Apostasy is an interesting Greek word. It means to literally stand apart from something. Something that you originally were standing with, and now you are moving away from that, to fall away from that. And there are really two forms of apostasy that take place. The one is the most obvious and visible, and that's when people just leave the church and completely walk away from it. But there's another one that I would maintain today is probably the more difficult one for us, and that is a hidden apostasy that takes place in the heart. When we still sit in the pews, when we still sing out of the hymn books, and when we still go through all of the words we need to say and wear the crosses around our necks, and yet let the faith drift away so that there's a spiritual vacuum inside of us. Notice the Holy Spirit gets very specific about this dangerous time. He says, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." Don't ever let it be said the Bible is out of touch with modern life. The same issues, the same challenges that we face today in 2015 were alive and problems for Christians in this day and age that Paul is writing as well. And boy, is he spot on with this. The more we engage in the evil, sinful things of this world, the more we lose our love for our Savior. Jesus said it so simply, you cannot serve two masters. Christianity and a love for the immorality of this world Those two things are polar opposites. They repel each other. And when you find yourself gravitating toward certain things that you know your Savior would not want you to be around, you find that you care less and less about Him and about His Word and about His sacrament and about His church. Not too many days ago, I was driving on Highway 169, coming home at night. My wife was sitting next to me, and I could tell that I was starting to get drowsy and sleepy. And I actually had a moment where, for about a second, my eyes shut, and I woke up quickly, and I said, "I need to pull over. We need to change places. You need to drive." I've been in a car before when a friend of mine actually started to fall asleep for a number of seconds, and we didn't realize it until we had gone over onto the curb a little bit. Very, very dangerous when we suddenly get so drowsy. For the Christian, spiritual drowsiness is something that comes upon us while we wait and while we live in this world and all the things that we have to take care of in this world and all the fun things that are out there tempting us in this world. It can become a very dangerous time. And so what Paul is telling all of us to do is this: at whatever age, wake up. And the way that happens is through sincere from the heart repentance of all of our sins, every one of them, to bring them before God, confess them before Him, and hear again of His wonderful grace and forgiveness in Christ. That activity of sincere repentance in the heart is the cold water, it is the cold slap in the face that we need to wake us out of this lethargy and potential apostasy. And when we do this, Paul says, you get dressed again in Christ. You put on Christ. We get redressed in Him by faith. We get redressed in His holiness and righteousness that alone is going to stand before God in the judgment seat. The English writer Edward Mote put it this way in the famous words, "When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." And so just like the Israelites of old, who on that Passover night waited with their clothing girded up so that their legs could run quickly as they got away, and I'm sure many of them said, "I can't wait for this night. This is the night." Paul says to us, "This is the day. Be ready when our Lord returns." Amen. Please rise as we join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.